Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Where is your treasure? This is part four in a simple series that we're doing. I believe I've started every message this way, and I'm going to do it this time too. This message is for believers. This is not for unbelievers, teaching them how to be holy so that they can earn salvation. This is rather talking to God's people, born-again people, that they would be holy and live a life pleasing to God. Salvation is when the sinner realizes he is a sinner. There is nothing he can do in his flesh. There's no amount of good works that he could do. No amount of churches, no amount of giving, water baptism, go down the line. Nothing you can do in your strength will buy you one second in heaven. You need to trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone for your salvation. Once you've done that, you're a child of God, you're born again. Now this message pertains to you. We are talking about believers being holy before God. Our key verses are 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This is our foundation. Come out from among them. Be separate. And by way of illustration and understanding, we have gone back to the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel are in bondage under Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God has seen their oppression. He has heard their cry. He sees that what's happening to them is very hard, and he is going to set them free. So he calls Moses and sends him, and ultimately along with Aaron, and they have the contests with Pharaoh. Along the way, Moses asks, "Let us go. Set us free to worship." And Pharaoh offers compromises. This is what we're studying, is the idea of compromise to what God wants you to do is wrong. God wants our complete obedience. And this is what we're seeing in this study. Now, I am surely not putting us back under the law as we consider the children of Israel. But the New Testament teaches us that we can learn from the Old Testament. The principles of holiness, in essence, are the same. God wants us to live according to His standards. Well, we're seeing that Israel in bondage is pictures of Christians, and Pharaoh is a type of Satan who is going to tempt, to oppress, to get us to not do exactly what God wants us to do. God wanted the children of Israel to come out. Please take a look in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go." Not partially. "Let them go, that they may serve me." It is very clear what Moses wanted from Pharaoh. It is very clear what God told Moses. But Pharaoh is going to offer compromises. Consider the first one we studied was, "You can worship, but don't leave. Stay in the land." Christian, you can serve God, you can believe in God and all that, but whatever you do, still live in the world and in the things of the world. What did we see in 2 Corinthians 6:17? "Come out from among them and be separate." No, don't stay in the world. Come out from the world. Our second study was, okay, fine, you can worship, but stay close. No, God didn't say, "I want you to stay close." I want you to come out completely, get away from them. The third compromise that we saw, okay, the men can go, but the women and children stay behind. Because Satan knows that the men are going to come back for their wife and children. Moses refused that one. Today we're going to study the fourth compromise offered by Pharaoh to Moses in place of what God wanted him to do. Where is your treasure? Let us read our text for the message today. Exodus 10, 24 to 26. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go also with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. So here we have this fourth compromise. You can go, but let your flocks and herds here. This would be like us today, serve God, but keep your interests in the world. Don't go too far. Have your treasure there. It says the word stayed. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. It means literally, that root word, to place permanently. You can go. Go worship, but keep your treasure and your possessions right in the midst of the world permanently. Keep your interest and investment there. Quote, Israel's flocks and herds represented their earthly possessions. Pharaoh wanted Moses and Israel to leave their resources behind. When Moses heard this offer, he rejected it. He said, We are taking everything. We are not leaving so much as one hoof behind. Come out from among them. You see, Christian, we cannot separate secular life from spiritual life. Well, this is what I do in church on Sunday, but on Monday through Friday, you ought to be the same person. We still have to go out among the world, but not to the point we have not dedicated ourselves wholly to the Lord. Everything we do has to be available and dedicated to the Lord. Again, quote, It is sad, but many fall for this compromise of the devil in our day. We ought to be like Moses and refuse to leave anything we have in the world. Friends, God must have it all. He wants everything we have. He wants our time. He wants our tithes and our talents. He doesn't just want the tenth. He wants it all. He wants the 10%, and he wants to tell us what to do with the 90. Everything is to be dedicated. In the final analysis, God wants you. Look at Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, that we would seek God. Dedicate your whole mindset to him. I understand that we walk this earth and we'll get there. But while we're here, we are to be wholly dedicated unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, born again people, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When they sacrificed of an animal, how much did they sacrifice? Did they cut off the leg and sacrifice the leg? No, they sacrificed the whole animal. God wants your whole life. Well, I still keep this enjoyment of the world in my life. No, come out from among them. You be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't take on its mold, its shape. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Focus your thoughts on God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian, God wants you to dedicate everything. Time, labor, talents, thoughts, will, money. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Separate, sever, divide, complete boundary. But how many times do Christians still have a treasure in the world and they become double-minded? Take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where's your treasure? Is it back in Egypt? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And if Satan can get you to let your herds and your flocks, your resources, back in Egypt, he knows you're going to go out and try to worship, but you're going to have in mind still what you've left in Egypt. Do you still have treasure in the world? If you do, let it go. Now, I understand you're probably sitting there wondering, well, wait a minute, I live in this world. How do I come out of this world? We're in the world, but we're not of it. We still go about sinners. And God has left us here as Christians to be the mouthpiece of the gospel, to be a living testimony. We ought to be before the sinners, and they see us. Remember that Jesus became a man, and he literally lived down here and dwelt among sinners. And listen to this, Matthew 9:10. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Jesus did go among sinners on this earth. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, why? That they, behold, need not a physician, but they that are sick. God has left us here on this earth to be a light in darkness, to go among the sinners, not to take on their ways, but to be a light and share the gospel as Jesus Christ came and he preached the gospel to these people. That's why he went among them, but he didn't partake in their evil ways. Remember several weeks ago in this study, I used the illustration, we insulate ourselves, we do not isolate ourselves. When you go to the doctor, he goes among sick people. In the hospital, they're going to go from room to room among sick people. What do? Put on gloves. To insulate themselves while they help those people who were not well. This is the principle that we must do as Christians, not isolate, but insulate. That we can go among people. At work, you're going to rub shoulders with unsaved people, your neighbors. Wherever you go, you are not to isolate yourself. We're not to cloister ourselves and shut out the world. We're to go among the world, but we are certainly to insulate. And in that insulation, we do not invest and partake in their evil ways. This is the point. Do you have a treasure in the things of the world? Oh, but I just love their music. Really? When you start to get the things of God and you start to mature and you learn, folks, that has no attraction. Don't isolate, insulate. Was this offer so wrong? Let your flocks and your herds. You see, if Moses would have accepted this offer, when they went out to worship, they'd always be thinking about, wonder if they're okay back there. Wonder if it's okay. I still have this draw back to the world. Pulling me. But God does not want us pulled back to Egypt. He wants us to come out and don't look back. Take a look at 9:62 of Luke. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He doesn't want a compromise. Although many Christians unfortunately do compromise. Oh, God doesn't care. Well, why do you think he said come out from among them? Moses saw the danger in this offer, and therefore he refused. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. We know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Folks, we are to have all of our resources available to whatever God wants us to do. This is where Moses was. But it's just a little. It's just a little compromise. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:6, "Your glorying is not good, you Christians at Corinth. They were born again people. Know ye not a little leaven leavens a whole lump?" Christian, God does not want to have you a little compromise. Moses, bring the people out. And Moses was confronted by Pharaoh. "Well, no, just do it in the land. Well, don't go far. Well, leave your wife and children. Well, leave your flocks." No, God said this. And that's what he did. You know how righteous God wants us to live as Christians? Don't even have an appearance of evil. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Even if it's not wrong. Can somebody interpret what you're doing as sin? Even if somebody might stumble, don't even have the appearance. But what's wrong with it? You know what? If you were probably to stand here and say, "What's wrong?" Nothing's wrong, but somebody could misinterpret that. God doesn't even want you to do that in your life. Again, quote, "Not only from evil itself, but from that which seems or appears to be wrong. There are many things which are known to be wrong. There are things also, whatever may be our motive, we may be certain that our conduct will be regarded as improper. The safe and proper rule is to lean always to the side of virtue." Folks, one day you're going to leave this earth, you're going to stand before God Almighty, and you're going to be thankful that you erred on the side of righteousness. "Dear God, I did that for you." And God says, "I know. I saw that. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased with you. You didn't even want to have an appearance of evil." "That's right, dear God. I stumbled enough in this life." Let us not forget this. God does not want us just to come out. "Well, my Christianity is don't do this and don't do that and don't do that and don't and don't do that and don't do that and don't do that. And don't do that." You see, the key is, are there things we ought to give up? Yes. Are there compromises we need to reject? Yes. But what does he want? 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you." Not for salvation, but in your walk with the Lord. Don't forget, as you say, "You know what, I don't do that, but I'm drawing near and close to a living God who saved my soul, and I want to be all I can for Him." And so it is, if all you do is give up things, your religion is nothing more than a bunch of rules. But rather, when you start to renew your mind and you say, "You know what, I have a love relationship with my Heavenly Father." I am convinced that is what's missing in Christianity today. Too many people are living by rules and outward forms of godliness rather than truly establishing a relationship with a living God. Forgive me for using this again, but it is so practical. When I met my wife, she did not give me a list of do's and don'ts. We fell in love with each other, and it's only gotten better throughout the years. Did I change? Of course I changed. I'm no longer a single man. But I didn't just give that up. Rather, I developed a relationship with her. Did you know God gave us the husband-wife relationship as an example of Christ in the church? I just didn't all of a sudden stop going with the guys and sit home. I developed a relationship with her. This is what God wants. Listen, the world that God is asking you to leave truly has nothing to offer when you really start to develop your relationship with God. And the devil is going to lie to you. "Oh, you're missing out, Eve. You need to eat that fruit. You know, they're going to think you're weird." Okay, now what? And then someday maybe they'll get their eyes opened. Moses rejected this compromise. How many souls are caught in the snare? Christian, listen to this commentary. They have left their business, their work, their worldly interests down in Egypt. They cannot be very far away in such case that they must needs go back to Egypt to attend to their possessions. They're double-minded between the Lord and the treasures of this earth. Listen, we do need secular jobs. If I can use that expression, not everybody can be on the paid staff at church. But if God has not called you to be a paid member of the church on the staff, therefore the alternative that I can see is you're going to work among the world, take that from God and dedicate that job to God, and whatever you do in that job, do to His glory and honor. You're still not of the world, you're in the world, but not of the world. And you're going to be a light in darkness. While you're out there working among the people, be a dedicated Christian. Don't partake of their evil ways. Did you know God wants the best for you? The devil doesn't want you to believe that. If you do that, you're going to be miserable. You know, you don't have to do that. You're still a Christian. Yeah, that's true. And the truth is, folks, you can leave here and you can go find a church that will tell you you can have such and such. Because in the last days it says they're going to have itching ears and they're going to seek teachers who will say what they want to hear. I realize that this series is not real popular, but it's truth. God's standards have not changed. Truth is truth. And God wants us to come out from among them as Moses was to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Come out! And there was a struggle with the compromises offered. And today, you're going to have struggles as you seek to be dedicated to the Lord. The devil's going to plant thoughts in your mind. Oh, no, don't do that. It's okay. Just do this. You can have a little. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. God was very clear what He wanted from Israel. Why would a Christian not want to come out from the world? Why do some people reject this message? Well, here's a few I thought of. They like the world. Well, the Bible tells us sin is pleasure for a season, Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, sin is pleasurable for a season. Ask David when he took Bathsheba if it was worth the price. The sword never left his house. Some people don't want to be called weird. Some people think that separation is a foolish choice and not a good decision. Some people think, well, I'm fine just the way I am. I want to challenge you with an incredible truth. Please listen. Diligently think about this. Christian, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have realized there is nothing that you can do to save your soul. Your works are as filthy rags, and you have looked to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who hung on the cross to save you from those sins. He has given you an eternal home in glory because you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He has a plan for you now that you're alive and you're still walking this earth. And in that plan, He wants you to be miserable and not have any fun and just make you downright frustrated. Now, does that make sense? That He's going to save your soul for all eternity and then give you some direction in the Scriptures to make you miserable? Or do you think that just maybe there really is a devil who's lied to you? You don't want to do it God's way, Eve. He's withholding good from you. Eat of that forbidden fruit. There is something terribly warped with the thinking that if we obey God who saved our eternal soul, He's going to make us miserable. That's the lie of the devil. Folks, when you start to feel that, that truly is the spiritual battle. Remember, the spiritual battleground is your brain. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead you, and Satan is planting thoughts. And your brain is sitting there, and that's why you get what we call stress headaches. As you try to discern, and you have to go to the Scriptures, and you have to know the Word of God. Wait a minute, I'm being lied to here. No, I'm not going to do that. God wants me to come out from among them and have a personal relationship with Him. You see, God wants us to truly surrender our will. Lord, right now I don't understand. I'm confused, but I'm hearing what's being preached today. And I want to seek Your face. And you know what? It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to grow, but you keep that mindset of dedication to God and let Him work in your life. As you grow in Him. See, Jesus Christ set the example of surrendering your will. John 6:38. For I, Jesus is speaking, came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. God did send His Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God the Father looked down at this sinful world and He said, Son, I want You to leave Your throne in glory, and I want You to go down among those sinners, and I'm going to let them crucify You. And Jesus surrendered His will and said, yes, Father, if that's what You want, I will do that. You see, was it pain? Absolutely, but He looked beyond the cross, and He saw what it was going to be. Look how much Jesus surrendered His will. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, Christian. This is how you ought to think. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Don't you know who I am? Jesus never said that. Yes, Father, if You want me to leave my eternal throne in glory, I will do that. Have no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Being found in a fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. And we have Christians who will not come out from among the world. Let this mind be in you, Christian, because it's worth it all. See, God wants our complete obedience without compromise. Moses would not compromise. Jesus did not compromise. We ought not to compromise. You're going to be making personal decisions for your thoughts, your personal time. You're going to be making decisions that are going to influence you among friends and people and neighbors and the like. It's not that we seek conflict, but conflict will come when we stand for what's right. No, thank you. I don't do that. And in the opposition of Pharaoh, Moses stood strong, determined to do completely, exactly what God wanted him to do. No compromise. No, God says we're to come out. And I'm not settling for anything less. So it is. When you decide and determine to live for God, stand in your convictions. Remember this song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Christian, God has eternal purpose for your life, even here on this earth. Will some of your challenges be very strong? You bet. But God will see you through them, and you will be so thankful that you stood knowing you did what God completely wanted you to do. And when time is no more, you can stand before God and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I began this message explaining that this is not for unsaved people to live holy so that they can earn salvation. No. This message is for born-again people, that they would serve God without compromise. But how do you become a Christian? Let that hand represent you, me, and every person that's ever come into this world. And let this billfold represent sin. See, every person comes into this world with a sin debt that must be satisfied before they die. And that sin debt separates us from God. But you see, God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Don't ever let anybody tell you God hates sinners. No, God does not hate sinners. He loves sinners. It's the sin. And there's nothing that you can do in your flesh to get rid of that sin. You could join this church, every church in town, write out a list of all the things you'd think are good. It won't buy you a second, because the scriptures tell us salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that you can do in your flesh to earn salvation. God loves you, but He hates your sin. And He saw that there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of that. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, who left His throne in glory to be born as a baby through a virgin. And He grew. And about the age of 33, when He was nailed to the cross, the sin of the world was laid on Him. And He did what we could never do. He shed His blood. His body was broken. He died. He gave up the ghost. But He rose again the third day, paid in full. See, we could never satisfy this sin debt. But Jesus was God. He was perfect. He could satisfy it. And when you put your faith in the work of redemption done by Jesus, and that alone, that moment you have eternal life. Think about this. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you go to heaven? When you realize, I get it. It's not church attendance. It's not walking aisles. It's none of these things. It's when you realize in the quietness of your mind, I am a sinner, and there's nothing that I can do to get rid of that. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung on that cross to pay my sin debt. And I believe in that work of redemption done by Jesus. I believe that. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe that. That message is from Genesis to Revelation in the Scriptures, that one would pay the sin debt of the world. They look forward. We look backward to the cross. We obviously have more understanding today because we have more Scripture. We have history. But the fact is, there had to be one that could pay sin's debt.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.